gave us to meditate on and prepare for. Hallelujah. And we, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It has just been such a great experience. Glory, hallelujah. But we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. I hear you. I hear you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, those that are listening, those that you know need this prayer today, let your anointing flow through these airwaves on today to that living room, to that car, hallelujah, to whatever place they are listening in, or maybe they're watching by internet, God, hallelujah, however they are receiving from this broadcast, God, we are lifting them up one by one. You know them, Father. You know their situation. You know what they're standing in the need of. Somebody's waiting to see the goodness of the Lord manifest in their situation. God, I pray that you will show up. Show up for them. Let them see that you are God of your word. Let them see that you are God that will never leave them, that will never forsake them, that you are God that will lift them up with the right hand of your righteousness, that you are a God that will become an enemy to their enemy, that will become an adversary to their adversary, that you are a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that they could ever ask or think, according to the power of God in their life. Let them see that your word is true, that you are not a man that you should lie, neither the son of man that you should repent, but you're God that can bring to pass every word that you have spoken, hallelujah, in their lives. God, give them the strength to get up and obey your will. Give them the strength to get up and receive what you have for them in this hour of their life, in this season of their lives. Give them the strength right now, God. Put your super on their natural today. Oh, God, embrace them. Oh, God, love on them. Oh, God, encourage them right now. Oh, God, work a miracle in their lives, because we realize that today is another day of miracles for them in their life. They might be homeless. They might be hungry. They might need employment, God. They might need to know that they have something to live for, God. Whatever the need is, we pray right now, God, that you would intervene, that you would show them that you are the answer, that you have the answer. In the name of Jesus, pour out your anointing, pour out your power, pour it out in their life right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. And we look forward to every testimony. Hallelujah. Every testimony. Every praise report. Hallelujah. As a result of our obedience and praying at this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Apostle.
I hear the song, I am a living testimony. Mm-hmm. My God, hallelujah. I keep having birthdays, and as I keep having birthdays, I understand more and more what it means when they say, I am a living testimony.
Yeah.
Meaning that my light must forever shine. Meaning the anointing of God, the power of God, the authority of God that's on the inside of me must make the difference in someone else's life.
Yes.
We're talking about the goodness of God. And I'm here to tell you, God is so good. He is so merciful. He is so loving.
Yeah.
Yes,
let
Lord.
This song bless somebody.
Yes, yes.
Receive it.
How many of you out there really thank the Lord for being alive today?
Yes.
Listen. I am.
Yes, sir.
A living testimony. I could have been dead and gone, but Lord, you let me live on. I am a living testimony, and I thank the Lord that I'm still alive. Come on, Joe, help me.
You know I could have been dead and gone. Lord, you let me, you let me live on. But I
you ought to tell somebody you're a living testimony. Yeah.
Testify right here. I've seen miracle after miracle performed in my life. You kept having mercy on me. I didn't even deserve to be alive. When I faced dangers that I couldn't see, you kept your angels encamped around me. I want to take and say thank you, oh, for keeping me alive. Come on, Joe, and testify. I'll have needed friend and loved one who have gone on before me. Lord, it caused my heart to believe. Yes, it did. But I realized that it could have been me. I know that I'm not worthy.
So you better take that thing away.
Hallelujah. I am a living testimony.
Yeah.
Could have been dead and gone, sleeping in my grave. Oh,
well,
I tell
Lord,
you, I tell you, he let me live on sometime, every time, all the time. We must be a living testimony. We must make a difference in someone else's life. Now, that is the goodness of Jesus. That is the goodness of God. When our life speaks.
Yeah.
My.
That's why you're still here.
Yes,
that's
Lord.
Why you're still living.
Yes, Lord.
God has a purpose for you.
Yes.
God has an assignment for you. God has somebody, hallelujah, that he intends for your life
yes,
to
yes.
touch. hallelujah, in this hour. Hallelujah. So pull up your bootstraps. Hallelujah. Get up. Glory to God. Shake yourself off. Glory to God, and prepare yourself for what God has for you in your life today. Come out of the pity party stage. Come out of that place where the enemy has you down. Come on, hallelujah, and give God praise because you're still alive, that you're a living testimony. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Come on and give God, hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Give him highest praise.
Oh, yes, hallelujah.
One of those songs that we sung today, that I raise a hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. A hallelujah. We need to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just praise God for your life. Praise God that you're still here. Praise God for his goodness. If it wasn't for the goodness of the Lord, you wouldn't be here. But I thank God. Hallelujah.
The goodness of Jesus.
That you're still alive.
My God. 18 years ago, many people lost their lives in 9/11.
My.
But my life and my wife's life was spared. Talking about the goodness of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
As we was preparing to board the plane, they stopped all flights.
Mm.
When the first plane went through the first World Trade Center, we were supposed to be in that building.
Amen.
I'm talking about the goodness. My heart will forever go out to the ones that lost their lives and that are still alive and have to live life not to the fullness because of injuries they sustained during that tragedy.
Yeah.
But our lives were spared. We're talking about the goodness of the Lord. Talking about the goodness
of
God.
Yeah.
Car wreck after car wreck, yet alive. Talking about the goodness. Bad reports from the doctor, but yet healed.
Yes.
My God, hallelujah.
He's a healer.
I'm talking about the goodness of God. And as we was in service this morning, that beacon of hope, and just watching how the anointing of God came in and how it just flowed and how a new wave of the anointing came in the Coliseum, just understanding the goodness of God. Preachers, it's time out for the competition.
Yeah.
It's time to be living testimonies to the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Preachers, it's time out for the isms and the schisms. It's time to walk in the power and the anointing and the authority of God. It's time for the signs and the wonders to follow those that believe. Talking about the goodness.
Yeah.
My God, hallelujah. The goodness of our God. He's a good God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glory to God.
You know, there's a saying that we have in the churches, say God is good all the time. And all the time.
God is good.
God is good. And just like I was saying earlier, the good, that's really the very essence of who God is. The Bible says God is good.
Yes, he is.
So there's nothing else that he can be but good. So then when things
even
are going
in his
wrong,
his judgment, he's good.
He's good because he's a just God. He's good. He's good. There's nothing else about him but good. When he's chastening us, when he's correcting us, when he's rebuking us, he's still good.
Yes.
Because there's a specific outcome that he's looking for in our lives. And through all of that, he's shaping us. He's making us. He's molding us into that person, hallelujah, that he intended for us to be from the very beginning. Hallelujah. A person of greatness in him. We have a saying at TLT, I am great, for God has instilled greatness in me. And we thank God for his goodness because he has instilled greatness in us. And so we want you to start getting in the mirror and saying, I am great. I am great. For God has instilled greatness in me. Why? Because he is a good God. And so we want to leave you with that and say, be reminded that today is another day of miracles. God bless you. Father, right now, I believe your saturation.
I must soak up your spirit like a sponge to release your power when pressure comes. I must soak up your spirit like a sponge to release your power when pressure comes. Saturate me, Lord.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
There's a river I want to swim in. There's a river I want to live in. It's the
the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and with us in the studio, they are still there. I asked them to stay seated, and they did. I mean, really, this is fantastic. Let's get that theme song off of there so we can say hi to Brother George and, I mean, Bishop George, I'm sorry, and Apostle Rebecca. Right now, Angel's joining us in there. Megan's on the line. And Apostle Rebecca, did we have church this morning? Wait a minute. Church. Let me get your mics back on. Go ahead. Let's get your mics back on. Now you're all on. Go ahead.
All right. We had church.
We did. I love the way you say that. Woo! I mean, we had such a great time. Bishop George, I tell you, you ministered. You both ministered so powerfully for so long, and I tell you, what a blessing. I mean, seriously, it was the first, I hope, of many such gatherings between your fellowship and Beacon of Hope Ministries.
We're looking forward yes, to it, yes. Pastor.
Are you? You really are? We didn't scare you or anything. We're a little wild, especially Dr. Angel there. She's really wild. But you guys are just as wild, if not wilder.
Wildness.
Yes. What do we mean by that, Bishop George? What do we mean by being wild at church?
We just love God so that we have a David anointing.
Yes.
If we have to dance out of our clothes, we will.
Yes.
We just love to give him praise, to give him worship. And I tell you, we was talking about it from your church to the radio station.
Okay.
How the new wave of the anointing just hit, and it's like, wow.
It did.
Praise God. It was awesome.
It did. And I honestly believe with all my heart that revival is upon us.
Oh, yes.
A little birdie told me that you all are going to start having a whole lot of services in the month of November.
November, yes.
So we want to, you know, come and visit at some point maybe. And,
Amen.
You know.
You're welcome. We're going to be passing the mic.
Okay. So
if whatever night you would like to become yours.
Ooh. All right.
You're welcome.
Well, let us know what you got on tap, because I tell you, there is nothing more beautiful than unity.
Amen.
In the house of the Lord, because yes, between brothers and sisters.
Yes. Amen.
And we have a really diverse congregation, mm-hmm, and all of us together there today had to be just blessing God's heart.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Don't you think, Apostle? And I want to get Angel's comment there, but go ahead, Apostle Rebecca. Tell us, I mean, because you ministered, you both did, you and Brother George just ministered so beautifully. Oh,
praise
it just
God.
Blessed my heart.
Praise God. Talking about touching God's heart. That was the reason that he sent his son.
Yes.
To die,
yes,
on the cross.
Right.
You know, that all of us, no matter where we come from, no matter what we've been involved in, would have the opportunity.
Yes.
To be reconciled to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And when God's heart is touched, it's touched because we don't have those isms and we don't,
yes,
have those,
yes,
schisms in the midst,
right,
of us.
Yes.
That we're looking beyond faults and we're looking beyond,
oh, amen,
things that we can nitpick at.
Right.
And seeing just someone who loves God.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And when we love one another, that's when we can say we love him.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. And I just know God was smiling today,
amen,
on all the unity and the fun we had.
And that food, I know he really would have loved to just come and join in and partake of that food.
Oh, my, did we have a feast, did we not?
Listen,
George, yes?
First, I want to say, just to see the millennials,
yes,
the baby boomers,
right,
and it's another group. What's the other
Generation
group?
X.
The which one?
Generation
the
X.
Generation X. To see all three,
yes,
together under one roof,
right,
worshiping and praising God.
Yes.
It was something to see.
It was.
And then somebody gave me some collard greens and some baked ziti.
Uh-huh.
That was out of this world.
Well, you're sitting with the creator of the baked ziti right there.
Oh,
right.
My God.
And Dr. Angel. And then
wonderful.
Mike made those collard greens. And
he told us.
And, you know, there was just so much food. And what a joy. Honestly, I am on cloud whatever it is right now because I am so thrilled at you folks accepting our invitation and graciously coming today to honor the fact that we're celebrating our 18th year
18 years.
Today as
and
a ministry.
The building is beautiful. Yes.
It sure wasn't when we walked in, when Angel and I walked in it several months ago. It was pretty nasty, but I'll tell you what.
Takes vision.
Yes.
It did, and it took a lot of hard work from,
yes,
all those people that were there today. Everybody doing their part, painting and learning how to lay flooring and,
mm-hmm,
learning how to do this and that, and everybody coming together in unity again,
mm-hmm,
to create a thing of beauty. And it was just sweet because so many have added their little touches to it, you
right,
know?
Exactly.
And so to see it, it's great. So I promised you, Apostle Rebecca, I wouldn't keep you on the mic too long because your throat, you really pushed it today with your singing, which was absolutely amazing and beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Praise God. I just want to say there was one person in particular that really touched my heart.
Ooh.
And his name is Daniel.
Oh, Daniel. Yes, we love Daniel.
And he came to, mm-hmm, me and he hugged me.
Yes.
And he just shared how blessed he was,
yes,
through the songs and through the ministry, because he really related to me. He shared that he had had a couple of strokes,
yes,
himself.
He has had several physical problems.
And you could just feel,
yes,
his sincerity and his genuineness. It was just, I can't even explain it. It just brought tears to my eyes like it's doing now.
Right.
It just brought tears to my eyes, and I just thank God because those type of things really helps me. I don't know about anybody else, but it helps me continue to be encouraged, continue to elevate him in my faith, and continue to know that what God is doing in my life matters.
It does matter.
Amen.
And, you know, I sit in amazement today. I was listening and watching you both and all the ministry that was happening and thinking that we first met you many, many years ago when you had a show right before us, when we first began back in 2012. And then you went off the air for a while, and then you came back, and you ended up right before us again, even though we changed times all around. But still, it's been like this. And just the unity that we have and the way you all have reached out and loved all of us and us to you, it's a family, and it was birthed today by putting our two congregations together.
Amen.
And for this, and we're going to do it again on December 29th.
Actually, three congregations.
Three congregations?
Yeah.
There were three? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was, somebody did tell me there were two congregations represented there.
Right.
And so we're going to do it again on December 29th in our facility. Put it on your calendar. We're looking forward to that.
Amen.
But Bishop George, you have something to say before you drag that beautiful wife of yours out of here because she's tired?
I like to say to Dr. Angel, you have done it. I don't know your situation, so I just know you. So, but I will say this. You have done an outstanding job with your sons.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you. All three of them.
I was so moved. God was moved.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
How
you
have brought them up in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They're wonderful young men, and I was so glad they each got a word from God today.
Yes.
That was just powerful.
Amen.
And everybody that received ministry, they were just, I mean, it just needed to happen, and it was so uplifting. And
awestruck, I think.
Yeah, we can't even thank you enough. Dr. Angel, I want to give you an opportunity to say something on the air before we let these precious people go rest.
It was an amazing day, and I feel so blessed for you guys coming and your congregations and everything.
Amen.
It just felt... You know, the devil doesn't fear a big church. He fears unity.
Yes.
And that's what we had today. We had the power of unity and the spirit.
Yes,
was just, it was just so powerful and amazing.
You hit on something there because that's what I wanted to say before we left. For us to be watchful of him because he doesn't like unity.
No, he does not.
And we don't want to allow him.
No, we won't.
To bring any type of dividing devices in.
No.
Yeah.
No,
absolutely.
We will not allow that. And just to feel the power of God today through the anointing and realize that there was unity. Everybody felt it. I mean, you couldn't have been there. And if some of you out there stayed home and missed this service, you got to mark your calendar for December 29th because it was a powerful, powerful day.
It really was.
There's going to be more.
Oh, there's going to be a lot more.
This
is the beginning.
Because the ones that were there today are going to tell someone.
Yes.
It's going to be bigger.
It will be.
On the 29th.
Yes.
You're going to knock those walls
knock
out
those
sooner
walls
than you
out.
Think. There we go. We're ready.
Thank you, Apostle Rebecca and Bishop George McKay. You two are amazing and wonderful. And
God bless you.
We can't even begin to thank you enough for bringing your people and joining with our people and just having a wonderful time as one people.
Yes.
So, right?
Yes.
So,
people, yes.
Wow, it's fantastic. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
God bless you.
And I promise to let her out of here within 5 minutes. And Angel, look, I've already run it.
Listen, I think I helped extend that time.
I want you to be able to get a nap in. So
I will.
Okay. All right. God bless you
both.
We
love you guys.
Thank you very
much.
Love
you guys too.
All right. And Megan, are you on the line with us?
I'm here. Howdy.
Hey there. And you missed a church today because you're in Michigan, but you missed an amazing time. I tell you what, Megan, all heaven came down at Beacon of Hope Ministries today with our wonderful guests.
Praise God.
It was great. It was absolutely great. We'll be talking more about it, but the place was packed. And I saw a whole row standing in the back, which was amazing too. They were talking today about our theme. Our theme for this 18th anniversary is celebrating the goodness of the Lord. When we hit one of our anniversaries, I can't remember, Angel, we were on Almerton. Maybe it was the 10th or 11th. I don't know. We had a theme of remembering the goodness of the Lord. And as God began to lay this goodness of the Lord thing on me again for this anniversary, I thought, well, we already did that. And then he just put in my heart, no, this is celebrating the goodness of the Lord. Do you want to talk about that? And then we'll go to Megan here in a moment.
Sure. You know, I mean, I think there's a big difference between just remembering something and celebrating it. You know, when we remember it, you know, it comes to our thoughts. But when we're celebrating, we're vocal about it. We're talking about it. We're rejoicing in it. You know, and the joy of the Lord is where our strength is. And so when we're celebrating the goodness of God, we are growing in strength and our spirit's getting stronger. And, you know, it's a whole different experience.
Oh, it is. It is. It is. Megan, I really wish you and your mom and your family could have been here today because, honestly, all heaven came down. And we're going to play this song, We Will Embrace Your Move, because that's what we're doing. We're embracing a new move of God among us. Oh, yes. Listen.
We recognize that you're moving among the earth, Lord. And we say we're with you. We're going to embrace what you're doing, Lord. Leave us behind. We're with you, Lord. We're with you. Behold, our God is gracious. He's moving among the nations. Preparing a bride for Jesus and proving he reigns. His spirit is tearing down walls built on the pride of men. To those who've rejected him, he's reaching his hand out again. We will embrace, we will embrace your move. Restoring his people by rains of sweet renewal and the music of heaven. Oh, we'll soon overtake the earth. We will embrace, we will embrace your move. Come, calling out to the least and filling our lampstands.
and he is restoring his people by rains of sweet renewal in the music of heaven. We'll soon overtake the earth. We will embrace, we will embrace your
all of that, the move of God. Megan, and then we're going to go to Angel about that. What is God doing in this day?
Well, he is in the moving business.
He's in the moving business, okay.
He's in the moving business, whether he's uprooting some bad things out of your life, whether
right.
he's implanting a new move of the Spirit. I can tell you right now, he's implanting a move of the Spirit, a new move of the Spirit, in his churches.
Yes, he is.
Yes. Because I know you guys saw it today, and
yes.
we've got it going on up here in Michigan. It's powerful. It's knock you down on the floor powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's joy-filling,
yes.
faith-filling, and life-changing.
Woo!
That's the move that's going on around the earth right now, because the Lord is wanting our attention.
Yes.
You know, when we turn our face to him, it's like our pastor said today, when we turn our face to him, he runs to us. He doesn't just walk. He sprints.
Right.
And we need to be in the same position. We need to be ready to run. We need to meet him in the middle so that we can make some movement here on this earth to get more souls for the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen. The scripture in James says, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. It's not he might if he's feeling like it or if you've been good enough. It's all about his goodness, not our goodness, Angel. Talk to us.
Oh, amen, amen. You know, and I think that's where we get so hung up, and we let it get in the way between us and God, is that we know our faults and our frailties, and we
yeah.
think it's we can be good enough or we can do. No, it has nothing to do with who I am. It has everything to do with who he is. And who he is doesn't change.
Amen. I want you both to comment on a verse that I never got to this morning. Nahum 1:7. And it says this: the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows all those who put their trust in him. That is Nahum. That's in the Old Testament. Hard to find that little verse. Nahum, N-A-H-U-M, Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows all those who put their trust in him. One of my favorite verses. Talk to us about that, Angel, and then we'll go to Megan on that. The Lord's good.
And he is. He is good all the time, you know, and that's just it. You know, everything he's doing through us and in us is about his goodness and about who he is and his character.
Yes.
You know, and we're his children, and he pours out his goodness on us. We have to receive it.
Yes.
We have to believe it. We have to be faithful. But it's all about his goodness.
Oh, it so is. And, you know, today, and they alluded to this a moment ago, Angel and Megan, you were not there, so we'll have to tell you about it. But Dr. Angel was sitting on the front row with her three sons right beside her. And as Bishop George began to minister, he had Joey, her middle son, stand up first and give him a prophetic word that was blow your socks off wild. Then it ended up being Anthony at some point,
yes.
and also Spencer
yes.
at some point, all three of her sons, and then Dr. Angel got one after all that, and as did many other people in the room, because God was moving mightily in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which
yes.
we were praying that that would happen, and it did mightily. Dr. Angel, you want to comment on that? Megan being a mama, she understands what it's like when your kids are touched by the hand of God.
Oh, my gosh. And parenting, I don't think there's anything more amazing to get to witness with having kids. You know, when they were born, I remember, you know, dedicating them to God and, you know, giving them back to God. They're yours, God. And my biggest request for my kids is just that they will be men to serve the Lord, no matter what that looks like and what they become. I just want them to be men of God. And, you know, raising them up, I was their children's church teacher for many years and just trying so hard to implant the love of God and the word of God and, you know, in their lives. But no, we all have free will, and to have them all sitting in, you know, with me in church, first of all, is always a blessing because some of them are adults and our schedules are crazy to get together. But, and then hear what God has a calling on each of them.
Each of their lives.
And then I'm their mom and know exactly that calling is each one of their individual gifts. And I'm just like blown away. I was sitting there literally just tears flowing down, my eyeliner all over my face, just blown away.
Wow. Because it was right on.
It was right on in each one of their gifts. And I was like, wow.
And then when he got to you, he talked about your practice getting ready to just explode. And it has been doing great, but not as great as you wanted it
sure.
to. Because it's brand new. You just started May 1st.
Right.
And counseling and life coaching and all that. And but yet, that was an amazing prophetic word
yes.
for you too.
And that's been a huge prayer of mine. And I've spent many hours in that building praying that prayer, you know, because
yes.
I work in the building. And so, you know, just to hear that God's hearing my prayers, like that was such a faith builder for me.
And for those out there who don't even know what it means to have a prophetic word, it's when God speaks through a prophet of God or someone that is operating in that gift. And he begins to minister truth into our lives, and we know that the person that he is using doesn't know anything about us, right?
Exactly.
And so it is not psychic. That's of the devil. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit and a prophetic ministry, and it was a word of knowledge, wisdom in some cases. I just heard God moving mightily through that prophetic ministry. Megan, you're the mama of three, and one of your babies is in heaven already. Do you want to comment on this joy a mother has with seeing your children ministered to and also ministering?
Absolutely. You know, it's life-altering when you become a mom because you become more self-aware of your Christian walk. And it was so important to me that after Grayson passed away, that I did the best that I could to maintain my faith so that my, you know, at the time, our four-year-old son could learn that death is not just grief, that there is still, even though those people are gone, that they're still alive. And how that happens is through, you know, knowing our Father in heaven, that we have an eternal life ahead of us. And that it causes us to live differently. And, you know, I hear Dr. Angel talk about, you know, seeing her boys and seeing the prophetic words spoken over them. As I can't wait. I mean, I don't want time to go fast, but I can't wait to see how my kids evolve in the Lord. Because, you know, you see it as soon as their personalities start developing. Is, you know, I see my son who has this gift for being friends with those who don't have many friends because, you know, there's such a judgmental thing that goes on with kids anymore. But, I mean, it's just he becomes friends with those who seem like that they might be lost, but that he shows the love of
cool.
Christ to
cool.
them. And then I have little Zoe who is just, she's a nurturer. And
oh, she's just something else. They both are.
She is. They are. And I can't wait to see what the Lord does in their life. It's just such a cool thing to watch.
It is.
It is. It's amazing, you know, and it's funny because Anthony and I, the boys and I went outside after service and we were just talking for a minute. And Anthony, when he was in first grade, they had career day and you could be anything you wanted for career day. And that little boy, he always had such a heart for God. He dressed up as Billy Graham. And so today when he got the prophetic word about pastoring and I looked and I said, do you remember when you were a little boy? He's like, yes, I was Billy. I wanted to be Billy Graham.
Oh, that is amazing.
Isn't that amazing? Oh. It was just the heart. I could see the heart. It was, to me, it was like, oh my gosh. Like,
Wow.
I had goosebumps. Like, it was almost overwhelming because it was just so amazing and beautiful to see where God's bringing those boys.
Celebrating the goodness of God, right? Yes. Goodness of the Lord in our lives, because so often, even with the tragedy, Megan, that you and Ben faced by losing Grayson at 33 hours old, you two together and with Andrew and Zoe and, of course, your mom and your dad, you have bonded together as a family with a purpose and with goals, and you're not letting that loss define you. You know what I mean? In a bad way. In a good way, yes, but not in a bad way.
Exactly. It's about, speaking of Grayson, speaking of the eternal life that we have when we give our life to the Lord, but letting people know that there is still joy through loss. And it's not hard, because yes, grief still can come at any moment, no matter how many years ago it's been. But there's a difference, there's a weight that is lifted off of you when you know that there's going to be a day when you're going to be reunited. There's going to be a day when you're going to be together again, and that he's not gone. And that puts a different perspective on losing someone.
It does.
And we walk around, and oh boy, do we talk about him. You know, the kids go to school and talk about him. We get to teach Zoe about her brother. I mean, it's such a tool to teach and a tool to learn. And it's also a constant reminder to keep you heaven focused.
Absolutely. And, you know, even in loss, I attended the funeral of my former broker on Friday, and I was very close to he and his wife. I worked for them for many, many years as a realtor, and I'm close to their whole family. And it was sad, but I also knew that I would see Jimmy again one day. And one of the guys who talked about him at his funeral was an 81-year-old man. He stood up there Friday, this great big church. It was packed out, people standing everywhere. And he said, "All my life, I knew there was something special about Jimmy, but I did not realize exactly what it is until we began to talk more." And he said, "He helped me understand my need for God, and I gave my heart to the Lord a couple years ago." And I thought, oh my, that is what it's, and so he concluded with, "I'm going to see my buddy Jimmy again." And so the goodness of the Lord in our lives is so profound, because we get to thinking this is all there is, and it isn't, folks. We celebrate the fact that one of these days we're going to be reunited in heaven with those that have gone before us. This is the song that's on my heart right now. Joy of the Lord. I think it's Wren Collective. Not positive, but I think I'm right.
Though the tears may fall, my song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes to you. Though the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you, Lord. I cannot
sorrow comes my way. You are the shield around me, always you remain my courage in the fight. I hear you call my name, Jesus, I am coming, walking on the waves, reaching for your light. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Woo! One of my new favorite songs, Dr. Angel.
Love it.
Why? Why do you like that? What does it say to you?
Because it's empowering, you know. The joy is so true, and that celebrating the joy and the joy of the Lord, that is where our strength comes from. It's not from inside of us. It's not something I have. It's not, you know, it's in Him, and His strength never fails, never runs out, never changes. And that's security.
Right.
That's security.
And that makes Him so good.
Yes.
We celebrate His goodness, and that's one of the reasons, because He gives us that joy in the midst of the trial, whatever it might be. Doesn't mean that life is always perfect, because it's not going to be. It doesn't mean that you're not going to suffer in different areas of your life, because you will.
Yes.
Because that's life.
It's life.
Megan, talk to us about this. But the joy of the Lord is your strength.
It is life, and you know what? I'll tell you, the Christian walk can be tougher, because when you become aligned with the Lord, then that's when the devil lays the pressure on. And it can be a true test, I'll tell you, especially, you know, when you get down in the valley. But when you know the Lord and you know the joy that comes in the storm, there's a difference. Oh. And, you know, that difference can be seen, too.
Yes.
And in that person, is that you learn to praise through the storm.
Amen.
You don't sit down and lay defeated. You stand and you rise and you fight. That's how the Christian walk is different.
Which goes right along with Nahum 1:7. I'm going to go back and quote that, and I want you both to really comment on this. The Lord is good. That's what we're talking about today, celebrating the goodness of the Lord after 18 years of ministry as Beacon of Hope. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. That does not say, but you will never have any trouble. A stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows all those whose hearts are completely His, Angel.
Yes.
He knows you, Angel.
Yes, He does. And you know, like we've talked earlier, we do all have life and experience trouble. But here's the thing, when you're walking with the Lord, you have trouble with a purpose. You know, your
trouble with a purpose.
It's kinda, it is, because, you know, when we're going through difficulties, when we're going through, it gives God a new opportunity to show Himself faithful,
yes,
to rise and be our strength, to have a ministry, to witness to other people hope. And so our troubles have higher purposes, and we are more than a conqueror. And so for us, when we're going through trials, it's a new way for God to show us who He is,
mm-hmm,
and for us to grow and trust Him more.
Oh,
so
there's
a purpose. It's not just for the sake of suffering.
Graham Cook says you need a problem in your life. You need a problem, because when you have a problem, then as you seek God and trust Him for the answer, you find that the provision is located right there beside your problem. Megan, talk to us.
You do, because whenever you are faced with a trial or whenever you're faced with a problem, instead of saying, why is this happening to me? You should say, Lord, what are you teaching me through this? Because I've noticed through the things that I've gone through is that, you know, at the time, you feel really weak, and you feel like that, oh my gosh, I'm just not going to get out of this. But then when the storm passes, you're stronger. You're stronger in the spirit, and your faith is stronger, because you see at the end the reward. And sometimes, in most of the time in my cases, the reward to me has been His grace, His peace, His blessings. And my faith just, it just keeps growing. And that's what, you know, it's like when we know the trials are coming, but through every single one of them, we should get stronger, because we know that through this Christian walk, that we just become more spiritual, more powerful in the Lord, and closer to the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely, we do. So trials in this life are to give us strength, to teach us, to train us for reigning with Him forever.
To help us with compassion when we're ministering to others.
There you go. Talk about that.
You know, if we didn't experience difficulties and challenges, then we wouldn't have the ability to even have that compassion or have that ministry or to be able to reach out and let others know, yes, I serve a God who can get us through the storm. And because He did it for me, He's doing it for me. And I can believe with you. Like, when that's hope. You know, a lot of times we need to know that somebody else has, you know, gotten through a difficult time. And so we can be that example. We can be that hope for them that, yep, God can do it, because He's not a respecter of persons. So if He did it for me, He can do it for you. We just, let's bind together. Let's pray together. Let's have faith together.
And if you're stuck in a rut of God's mad at me, God's punishing me, God's not on my side, I don't have favor with God, Angel, what do you do about that? Because so many, well, they come to Bible study at Beacon of Hope right now, right?
Yes, they do.
On Wednesday night. Why would they want to do that?
Because we are talking about our identity in Christ. And, you know, we do. We have a lot of times we have believed a lot of false things about who God is or who we are. And we believe we're less than, we're not good enough, we're not capable of being loved. We see God as, you know, like a big parent ready to, you know, whip us with the belt when we mess up all the time. And that's not scriptural. That's not biblical. And we have to change those tapes with truth of who we are and then who He is.
Because God is good.
He is good all the time.
Woo! Talk to us, Meg.
Well, you know, I think that sometimes God is not seen in the correct way.
I agree.
And what I mean, you know, what I mean by that is we need to get a mindset change of that when something bad happens or, you know, something just isn't going right. That's not God. That's the devil. Because He is the one that wanders the earth. He is the one that got Adam and Eve to sin.
Right.
And that is the person, that is the being that's trying to give you that false impression of your Father. Your Father in heaven, all He is love. L-O-V-E. That's all He wants to give you. And we so often don't give it back. And, you know, we come to the table with our own agendas. We come to the table with things that are put above Him. And He never wants to punish you. He never has punished you. He's still the same as He was yesterday, today, and He'll be the same tomorrow. He wants to love you. He wants to give you abundant blessings. And it's time for us to realize that the thief that's taking our joy, the thief that's stealing from us, is the devil. Because it says in the Bible, help me, I can't remember what scripture it is.
John 10:10.
Steal, yes, steal, kill, and destroy. That is not our God. That's the devil.
And the rest of that verse that Jesus said, but I came to give you life and to give it abundantly,
right,
till it overflows.
Yes.
Talk to us, Angel.
Well, you know what I have found, and you know, Megan, everything you said is spot on. And when I'm working with people in counseling, in the counseling room, especially on spiritual stuff, what I find is they see God through the same perspective as the relationship with their earthly father. So if they had this unhealthy relationship with, or their parent didn't give them things they needed or take care of them the way, then that's how they feel God is. And so, and if you're one of those people, we're going to live in defeat until we learn that's not truth and we replace it with truth and learn that God, he is the ultimate parent, and He wants to lavish His love, and He is love. He's not a punitive God. He's not, I'm out to get you, kind of make you suffer because, oh, look what you did. No. He knitted us together before the foundations of the earth. He had a plan and a purpose for hope and a future. And like, we've got to get that down. He has adopted us and loves us and has blessed us and chosen us. Like, he loves us.
Hmm. Could bring us right to your favorite song, couldn't it?
Sure could.
That wasn't what song I was going to do, but because you said that, I have to do Good, Good Father by Chris Tomlin.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
We can't have a 18th anniversary celebrating the goodness of the Lord without that song.
True.
Right?
True.
Why is that song so special to you, Dr. Angel?
Well, because it just, it reminds me he is a good, good father. And it's about who he is. And it's about his faithfulness. It's about his mercy and his love and that he lavishes that out on us.
Oh, because he loves us, you know?
Because he loves us.
So very much. And as we celebrate the goodness of the Lord on this show today and celebrate the 18th anniversary of Beacon of Hope Ministries, I can say as pastor of this ministry and having been through an awful lot during these 18 years, that there have been hard times. There have been times where we met in my living room. There have been times where we met in hotels. There have been times that we couldn't pay rent for a facility and had to move out. I mean, there are times we've lost people. There's times we've gained people. There are all kinds of things have happened in the 18 years that this ministry has gone on. But God has always been faithful, and he's always been good, and he has sustained us through even the hard times. Talk to us, Megan.
You know, he does sustain us. Even though there's been times, especially even in my life, where it's like, Lord, where are we going to get the money to put food in the fridge?
Right, sure.
Where is it coming from?
Right.
Where are we going to get money to pay these bills?
I've been there.
Yes, we all have.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just the other day, it was last weekend at church, I had that doubt was setting in about, you know, financial situations. And the Lord said, Megan, you know I got this.
Right.
I've got it before, and I've got it right now.
Amen.
And it's when he's telling you, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me. And it's hard for people that may be new to Christianity, or it's even maybe hard for people that just have never been taught that we have to put all of our trust in him. And I'll tell you, even though you feel like that you might be down at the very bottom of the pit and there's just one piece of dirt left standing, God's right there.
Mm-hmm.
He's right beside you. He's the one that stands in the fire that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that's walking on the waters beside you, holding you up from drowning.
Right.
I guarantee it. No matter how low you feel right now, he's right there. But you have to turn, and you got to meet him. Because until you say, yes, Lord, how is he able to fully show up and show you his grace and show you his love and his mercy if you're restraining yourself from him?
Mm-hmm.
We have to let go. We have to let go.
Yeah, we do. And it's not easy sometimes to do that, is it? To let go and say, okay, God, here it is. I can't fix this. Because a lot of us are fixers, you know?
Sure.
And we really think we know how to get out of this slump, whatever it is we're in. And if you, listener out there right now, are going through a hard time financially or in relationship, or maybe you're going through a divorce, or maybe you've got some kids that are really into some bad situations in their lives, that does not mean God has left you.